all our colleagues in other institutions, especially in energy statistics. We are always willing to support our service to our colleagues. I think we can talk more when we see the presentation and the discussion. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Rashid. Maybe we could do a quick round of introductions, but really quick, so that we know each other and some of the presenters are here. You will know them also. So maybe we continue with Nopenyu. Actually, he's one of our resource persons, presenters. Nopenyu, maybe you could present briefly yourself.
Hello, good morning, everybody. So yes, my name is Nopenyu Dabla, as many of you might already know. I work for IRENA, the International Renewable Energy Agency. And later on, I'll just be talking about the work we do under our initiative and how we can promote that to promote access as well in Safana. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Atef, maybe you can present quickly, present yourself.
The presentation.
No, no, just present yourself. Yeah. Just say you.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Atif Marzouk, Head of Energy Division, Department for Infrastructure and Energy, and Project Manager for the Geothermal Risk Mitigation Facility.
Okay. Gilbert Mighty, I guess. Is that Gilbert Mighty?
Yes, good afternoon. This is Maiti. I'm Gilbert Maiti. I've come in just because I wanted to listen to energy. But I'm with the consulting firm.
Okay.
Global providing support to the. Thank you.
Yeah. So Gilbert is one of our EU ISM experts, infrastructure support mechanism fund from EU to support the PDAC process. We have Alpha Umar, our colleague from Guinea, I think. Alpha Umar. Okay, we can't hear him. Christine. Grojus, I can see he's connecting now. Okay.
Good morning, Krishna. Are you asking for me?
Yeah, please introduce, quick introduction.
Oh, yes. Yeah. My name is Christina, and I'm working with Veda Nepad as a water expert.
Thanks. Thank you. Cornwell, Chisali, Chisal. Cornwell. Hello, Cornwell. Okay, maybe he's not available. Dimitri, are you there, Dimitri?
Hello, you hear me? You hear me?
Yes, perfect, go on. Please introduce.
Okay, I'm Dimitris Papastefanakis, team leader coordinator of EU Technical Assistance Facility. Thank you.
Thank you. Zebele from SADC, I guess.
Thank you. Hello, Tumisani Mzavira from SADC Secretariat.
Thank you.
Yes, I am also interested in the issues of sustainable and renewable energy. Otherwise, I come from the water sector dimension. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Engeda? Engeda Negash? Engeda, are you there? Maybe later. I think.
Sorry, I was muted.
Yeah, sorry.
I was muted. Good afternoon. My name is Ngeda Nagash. I am energy expert for infrastructure support mechanism EU program. Thank you.
Thank you. Joris Bambo from, I think, Gabon. Joris, are you there? Joris. Okay. Maybe we move on to Konstantinos. Me, you, I guess.
Yes. Hello. Good morning. My name is Konstantinos Perakis, and I'm in the UTAV, the Technical Assistance Project for the Continental Master Plan in Lot 8. Thank you.
Thank you. Cornelia Liping, Sacre.
Okay. I think there's a network issue. We can't hear you very well. Maybe later. Okay. Thank you, Cornelia. I think there's a network issue. We can't hear you very well.
Project coordinator for the Tech Renewable Energy.
Okay.
Good. Entrepreneurship Support Facility in SACRI. Thank you.
Okay. Younes, can we quick introduction, Younes?
Yes, Krishna. Hello.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's Younes. I'm an infrastructure expert from Ordo Network based in UMA in Rabat. I'm also a member of Task Force.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Infrastructure. Thank you.
Okay. Tish.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, Doris. Yeah. We can hear you now.
D'accord, c'est Joris Pombo du Gabon.
Oui.
Voilà.
Merci, Monsieur Joris. Tish.
Thank you, Krishna. My name is Tish Simbini from the African Union Development Agency, also part of the task force.
Yeah. I see Tyros.
Yes, hello. I'm Thirsos Hadjikostas. I'm also a member of the UTAF team for developing the Continental System Power Master Plan.
Thank you. Steve Diwa.
Thank you, Krishna. My name is Steve Diwa. I'm the Executive Director of the Southern African Power Pool.
Okay. Thank you. Stefan Fox.
Good afternoon, Krishna. Good afternoon, everyone. So, Stefan Fox, I'm a program manager in the EU delegation to the African Union based in Addis Ababa, working closely with the UC out there, the PIDA team, and with our technical assistants, with DEFCO, Georgios, and the team, and with our EU energy TAF, Dimitris, and the colleagues. Good afternoon, everybody.
Thank you, Stefan. Okay, so I think we got a few PA. We have Sami. Hafnawi.
Hello, everybody. This is Sami Hafnawi, ICT expert at Auda Nepad, based at Rabat.
Yakuba, I think you're go on, please. Can you introduce yourself, Yakuba, since you're there?
Yes, this is Yakuba from the African Union, Chief of Infrastructure Information Units.
Perfect. We have Rasmus has joined us. Rasmus, you can go on, introduce yourself quickly. Hello, Rasmus. Yeah. Okay, maybe we can't hear you, Rasmus. Okay, Georgios is there. Georgios is finally, he's one of the presenters. Georgios, go on, please present yourself. Hello.
Yes, hello. Sorry, I was muted. Good afternoon to all. I'm Georgios Krapsas from the European Commission. DigiDevCo working in the Sustainable Energy and Climate Change Unit. And I will also present today. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay, so I think we've most of the person I've introduced. Maybe if I forgot, Peter is there, maybe task force member. Peter Kinuthia, please, Peter, could you introduce yourself? Hello, Peter.
Okay, maybe later we can talk to you can intervene.
Krishna,
yes, also Monga. Here. Monga is also here. Okay, Monga. Yes, sorry. I mean, the screen is so small. I can't see
everything. I was patiently waiting for my turn.
No, go on, Monga. Sorry, we didn't forget you. Yes, go on.
My name is Monga Meshwana. I'm from the private sector and finance division, you know, at ECA. You know, I'm also a member of a task force, PIDA task force.
Thank you, Monga. José-Louis Bobest?
Yes, hello. Good morning. Bonjour. José-Louis Bobest, transaction advisor, European Union Investment Support Mechanism, seconded to Alba Nepa, transaction advisor. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we should be starting. We are now 18 minutes past the start time. And finally, Shali Mbwet is our colleague, GIZ, assisting us today with the questions. So please, if you could actually some basic ground rules, just if you could mute your mic if you're not speaking, please, so that there's less background noise. And once we finish, while we're doing the presentations, if you have questions, please type them in the chat box, or raise your hands when we finish so that we can allocate turns for questions and answers. So I think we should be starting now. We had a quick introduction from Afrek earlier. And so this welcome to the series of webinars. We have somebody's mic is not muted. I'm trying to find out which one. Okay. So this is I think the 19th webinar we're having. We have three more next week, two more this week. Mr. Mohamed Moalin, could you please mute your mic? Yes. So we, as you know, the deadline for submission is the 30th of June, and we, over these 2 weeks, we're trying our best to get a maximum number of PIDA PAP2 projects. To date, we have 71 projects on the website. So I think I will take a few minutes just to show you through the website, and then I'll leave my colleagues to make the actual presentations. And so that we are not too much delayed, and we can catch up on the time. So I will share my screen. Can you all see the homepage of PIDA PAP2 website?
Yes, Krishna.
Thank you, Shali. Okay, so this is. This is the website where the digitalized process. So because of the COVID, and actually even before COVID, we had planned to have a fully digitalized process, which is very useful now in these lockdowns and travel bans and all that. So this is the only way to submit projects. This is a platform for communication. We have a discussion forum. Now we have experts, new experts are posting or reviewing projects and posting comments. So which is visible to log registered users, which is actually very useful to clarify and improve the quality of projects. So these two documents here are public. So this is the public access, and the FAQs and guidelines are also public. So this is part of the transparency, or I would say the outreach to make PIDA PAP2 known to a wider public. This is the public, and then once you log in, you have access to hear the registered users. So to date, we have 224 people are registered, and as soon as they register, we need to give them an access. So if somebody just registered, I need to give him an access. And there are three types of accesses: national focal point, a sectoral focal point, and REC. And there's also here a filter to show distribution per country, per region, per rec, and per access level. So then we have here the downloads for those who just registered. This is where you find all the key documents, and including it, the basic documents translated in Arabic. We also have them in Portuguese. And then you have here the reports, all the presentations made, thematic webinar presentations, all the training sessions held since the beginning, all are available for download here. Event section, you all know this. If you don't know, if you cannot find a link, Zoom link, they are always posted here. The future Zoom links of all the webinars, and you also can listen to any webinar since the beginning. So we are today, we've done 18 of them. Today is the 19th. So all the recordings, audio recordings, and this session is also being recorded. Are posted here, and you can always send a query, send us a question in this section here, contact us. The core, and this my colleague will talk about VPIC later. Tish is going to take us to VPIC, so I won't go there. This is the core of the website. The core of the project is here, project submission. So you have the submission form and the submission guideline, and this is the list of all the projects. So, and the website is available in English and French. By selecting up here, you will get the language. So we have today 71 projects. The filter is here. There are 21 in the energy sector, 19 in ICT, 9 in water, 22 in transport. So we're making an effort to increase the water. But energy is one of the leading sectors, as you see. The Northern Africa is only 6, but they started late, so this they will catch up. And Western and Southern are already 21, 23. Eastern is 21, and Central is 15. So this is by REC, and then there is a validation process. So member states submit, or sometimes REC submit, and as soon as it's validated by the REC, it turns into a green background, that is, nobody will touch the project, so we can start processing. And if all the mandatory fields are not complete, then it is flagged as draft here. And everything else are normal projects. So here are the list of the 71 projects. As you will see, 15 have been validated, maybe around less than 10 are in draft form, but the rest are good. Okay, so this is the submission form is like this. So only online submission is possible. This is the only way to submit, to register and to get an access right for submission and to submit online. So project title, and in our case here, if you click energy here, the subsectors are automatically adapted to the sector. So we have all these biomass, geothermal, hydro, nuclear, solar, and here transmission lines, I think, which is one of the key. And also the renewable, which will be part of our presentation. And we added other, and we are seeing now emerging new sectors, which is a good thing. We are seeing, for example, rural electrification, for example, doesn't appear as a subsector, but there is a project from ECOWAS in rural electrification. So clicking other and typing here, the new sector enables member states to customize. Then they put the member states, they can pick the actual list of member states and beneficiary countries, and clicking multiple choice on the RECs and the submitting institution, and then valid saving graph going to the next sheet, etc. So if you look at the project themselves, this is how they look like. Let us pick a good energy project, for example. So you can sort by energy here. This one, the electrification project, which is one of the key themes today. So this is a project from ECOWAS. So they plan to electrify 20,000 villages across 15 countries in ECOWAS. And these are the details of the project. They've uploaded some documents, which are only accessible to the owner, the person who uploaded, and to the REC. But everything else is accessible to registered users. And this project was obviously sent by Mr. Camouin Arkadiusz Kamoa of ECOWAS. And ECOWAS have taken the lead, actually. They are actually driving the process, submitting and validating the project after consultation with member states. So, okay, I'll stop here. So this gives you an idea of the process, of the projects, of validation, etc. This will continue till 30th of June. Then we will continue using the website internally for screening, for discussions and validation at the task force level until we come up with a shortlist. So we can take up the questions later, but I think we should continue with the presentation. So I will invite Atef Barzouk to make his presentation. So I will start by sharing my screen. Oh la la, wait. Okay, so I need here to share my screen and this one share.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
Yes, please start from the first slide.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. This one. Go on. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. This presentation gave you information about the main project at the Energy Division, especially for this year. This is the main target at the end of this project to launch the Single Africa Electricity Market. And this project, in collaboration with the European Union Technical Assistance Facility, this project, I will give you information about this project during these slides. Please, next. Yeah. The harmonized regulatory framework of the electricity market in Africa. This is the, I will give you an overview for this project. The project aimed to create a competitive interconnection electricity market in Africa, a strategy document. And after that, this is strategy document already adopted by during the EU summit in July 2017. And there is three main stages. The first stage for 3 to 5 year initial phase of the harmonized process. Second stage for 6 to 8 years regarding to the market opening. And the third stage, 9 to 14 year harmonized electricity market and progress monitoring. Next, please. Yes, the strategy, as I mentioned at the beginning, this is strategy. The aim of this strategy to achieve a fully integrated, competitive, and harmonized electricity market in order to accelerate Africa development and improve access to electricity. This is the main aim of the project. And we have the, under the strategy, we have 6 objectives. The 6 objectives regarding to developing effective regional and the continental electricity market, improve the operational efficiency and the performance of the electricity supply industry, creating stable transport and the environmental to attract investment, enhance electricity market framework to increase access, enhance renewable energy framework, establishment standards and framework for the energy efficiency. Next, please.
Just a moment. Just a moment. Check the microphone.
Yes.
Is the microphone for this one?
After the strategy, we can also give information about our action plan. The action plan identified pillars and also key phases. We will talk about the pillar. Please, if you push next, it will give you the 6 pillar. Please, yes. The 6 pillar here, it is identified: economic regulatory framework, technical regulatory framework, enable market environment, enhance renewable energy framework, establishment standard and framework for the energy efficiency, identification main activities, particularly establishment of the key institution and the development of important document. This is the six pillar, as I mentioned, and also we have key phases and the key phases. Okay. This is regarding the key stakeholder and the partner. Okay. Yes, this is regarding the key stakeholder and the partner. You find it in the middle, you find the African Union, and the main partner, the main stakeholder and the partner is the member state government and regulators, regional economic communities, AUDA, NIPAD, UNECA, regional power pool, development partner, Pan-African specialized institution like ABWA, AFUR, AFSIC, regional regularity authorities, and also regional center for renewable energy and energy efficiency like ICRI, SACRI, RICRI, and AICRI. This is the regional renewable energy and the energy efficiency center. Next, please. Yes, the progress in the implementation, this will give you background about from the starting that this project, as I mentioned, started from long time, started in 2015, 2016. This is the first phase. It is concentrated on the strategy and the action plan, a strategy objective and the implementation pillars developed, that this is already mentioned at the first and second slide, and the regional, national, regional, and the continental interventions, and the short, medium, and long-term phases adopted by STC in March 2017. This is in Togo, Lomi Togo. Second phase, this is in 2017 and 18, regarding the transmission tariff methodology, coordination unit, and the mini-grid models. The transmission tariff methodology guidelines and the monitoring plan, a structure, and the terms of reference, a coordination unit within the EUC Department for Infrastructure and Energy, an institutional and a policy model for technical and economic regulation for micro and mini grid, adopted by STC in April 2019 in Cairo, Egypt. Next, please. In the continuation of the progress of the implementation, third phase, this is the third phase for 2018-2019, started with a pilot phase of transmission tariff methodology and the minimum energy performance. And this is what regarding that transmission tariff tested in the WAP and also Central African Power Pool. Calculation model developed and validated at in Cairo, Egypt, during the second STC meeting. Guidelines for minimum energy performance standard and energy labeling development, and all, as I mentioned, adopted on STC in April in Cairo, Egypt. Next, please. Now we are talking about the phase number four. This is ongoing phase that started on 2019, exactly in September, by launching of the kick-off meeting. And this is ongoing. This is have 10 lots, and these 10 lots, it is already here. And we have also six areas of cooperation. The area number A, monitoring and the cooperation framework. Area B, minimum energy performance standard and the labeling. Area C, quality assurance framework for off-grid appliances. Area D, transmission system tariff and the network management. Area E, energy policy and planning. Area F, support to EUC and the AUDA NIPAD. As I mentioned, this is only also lot 10, lot 5. One regarding to the digital online information platform, lot two monitoring implementation of the minimum energy performance standard, lot three minimum energy performance standard enforcement and the market surveillance, lot four energy efficiency quality assurance, lot five capacity building, Lot 6 regarding reduction technical losses, Lot 7 monitoring implementation of the transmission tariff methodology, Lot 8 continental power master plan, Lot 9 single electricity market policy and roadmap, Lot number 10 continuous support to the African Union and AUDA NEPAD. Next, please. This is a slide specifically related to the harmonized transmission tariff methodology. And this is one of the main issues that we are concentrated on it to ensure that power pool supply same principle in the determined transmission tariff with the power pool, with the other power pool tariff methodology. Already this one cover six areas regarding to the economic efficiency, cost recovery, transparency, correct price, and also simplify of application, impact of transmission network. And we already conducted some training, and some training already until now it is pending due to COVID-19, where we organized a web training in last December 2019, and sub training in January 2020, and the East African is organized in February, and the other two already pending due to COVID-19 for Central African Power Pool and the COMLIC, and the study tour also already pending after prepare everything for this one. Next, please. This is the last slide for the presentation. It will be covered with my colleague Atish regarding the Continental Power Master Plan. This is one of the main issue that AUDA NEPAD coordinate and implement this one in collaboration with the regional power pool. Many meeting organized with the power pool in order to coordinate the master plan on the regional to the continental level, and more detail it will be delivered by this presentation. Thank you all for your kind attention.
Thank you, Atef. So thank you for this very enlightening presentation. Actually, we maybe many of us were not aware of the very broad range of work which is ongoing, including energy efficiency and renewable energy. So very comprehensive work which is ongoing for continental integration across energy sectors. We will now, I think, move to the presentation by Tish of the VPIC platform. So over to you, Tish.
Thank you, Krishna. So what I'll do is I'll switch between VPIC and the last slide that was shown by Atef. So I'll do the introduction using VPIC, and then once I'm done, I'll kindly request if you could.
Okay, wait.
Please. Yes, I would kindly appreciate if you would then show the slide that the last slide. Yes. So thank you very much, Krishna, and thank you, Atef, for that very informative presentation. I think, like Krishna said, it puts things into context. So for my presentation, I'll focus mainly on the progress made from PDAPAP 1, which then complements the presentation that has been made by Atef. So from PDAPAP 1, we had 54 energy projects, and these were split into three categories. Power generation, there were 10 projects, and then we had two oil pipelines, and the rest were power transmission lines. And as you can see from this, from VPIC, which shows us the project dashboard, that we had 54 projects. And if you look at the stages of these projects, you realize that most of them, of the projects that were in this pipeline, were still in the early stages, project definition as well as pre-feasibility study phases. And And you can see also the disparity in terms of the sectors on the progress that we have made in for PDAS force. Like, for example, if you look at the most of the projects that we're still under project definition for energy, you see that most of them were power transmission lines. The same as well for projects that are still, that were still on pre-feasibility stage, there were still power transmission lines. And those that were at feasibility stage, it's also mostly power transmission lines as well. But when you move up the project preparation cycle, you find that as you get to the project structuring and transaction support, you find that's where you find most of the power generation projects. So meaning that we had more progress was made in power generation projects as opposed to power transmission lines. And yet these are complementary, because as you would appreciate that the power generation projects would not make sense out in the absence of the power transmission lines. So that because these are what gives the power generation projects access to the markets that they intend to sell their final product to. And also, if I could just conclude by saying those that were under on operation as well, it was mainly power generation projects. But going back now to the necessity for us to work on the power transmission lines, what we are seeing is that for some of the projects, particularly the large power generation projects, like the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam in Ethiopia, as well as Inga, these projects would not make sense in the absence of a regional electricity market or a continental electricity market. That's one. The second thing that we were beginning to see now is that because of these PDA projects, we were now beginning to interconnect power pools. And there were some issues that were not anticipated when these projects were conceived during when PDA PAP 1 was designed. And as a result, we had SAPP and EAPP finding a solution by doing a study, at least to understand the impact and the effects of how that interconnection will affect the power two power pools. And I'm pleased to notice that Engineer Dewa is part of this meeting. And I'm sure he will be in a better position to explain this than myself. But at least what they've done a study which showed and highlighted some of the issues that may arise and how they will be able to address them. And that study now forms the foundation of what the work that we are doing on the power systems master plan. And through this work that they have done, particularly as a result of this interconnector stretching from Kenya, Tanzania into Zambia, they will by the year 2022, when most of these sections will be commissioned, they will be able now to they will be linked. The SAPP will be linked to EAPP, meaning that we will then have the largest power pool on the continent joining EAPP to SAPP and stretching from Cape all the way to Cairo, if we then develop some of the other interconnectors between Ethiopia and Sudan and Egypt, which to my understanding are also at an advanced stage. So that brings us now back to the presentation that has just been made by ATEF on the necessity for us as a continent to start thinking about the creation of a continental electricity market, and also modeling that interconnected grid, so that at least we begin to anticipate rather than to react to some of the issues that has already been highlighted, that have already been highlighted out of the study from between the SAPP and EAPP. So Krishna, can you kindly now share the last slide so that at least I can then talk to the objectives of what we intend to do to through the Power Systems Master Plan. So Atif is in his presentation highlighted that they are working on the at least on the institutional and policy and legal framework necessary for us to be able to create a continental electricity market. But we can only realize that if we complement the policy and institutional framework with the necessary hard infrastructure for us to be able to do that. So the Power Systems Master Plan will build on the work that is being done through the what Atif has highlighted by now looking at the hard infrastructure that will be essential for us to be able to create an electricity market. So the objectives, the main objectives of this study are that there are five. And the first one is to ensure that there will be energy trade between countries within power pools, because you would appreciate that our power pools are at different stages of maturity, with SAPP being the most advanced power pool, followed by, to some extent, by WAP, and then also EAPP, but there's still a bit of work that still needs to be done with Central Africa as well as with North Africa. Can you go back to the last slide, Krishna? Yeah. Thank you. So once that is done, we will then go to the next level, which is now being pioneered by SAPP and EAPP, where we will have trade between two power pools, two or more power pools. And and then that will then, so that means with that we will be able now to link the two power pools and enable trade between power pools. But the third objective is that we need to look at the necessary power, continental power generation projects so that they'll get access to this electricity, to this market, particularly some of our flagship programs such as the Grand Inga project, which would not make sense if it's designed for local production, for local consumption in the DRC, or even for regional power consumption between SAPP or even the Central African Power Pool. And this would make sense in the presence of a continental electricity market. And then, of course, one of the things that will be essential is the necessary ICT infrastructure to complement the hard infrastructure so that the coordination centers for the different power pools will be able to control the power electricity trade within their power pools, but also between the power pools. And that also raises issues related to cybersecurity when you are now operating such a big interconnected market. And so the master plan also intends to address those issues as well. And but we will not be reinventing the wheel, because most of the work has been done. So the master plan will be based on the pool plans that have been done by the power pools, and it will build on them. And we will then develop a model of the interconnected grid on the continent so that at least we begin to understand how it could be optimized to enable that trade between within the power pools, but also between the power pools, and also to identify the priority infrastructure that we will need to focus on as we develop as we work towards this goal of developing a continental electricity market. And lastly, just to give you some highlights on the progress that has been made, as Atif has just mentioned, that this is also part of the support that we are receiving through the EU. And as part of that support, Dimitris and his team are working on the baseline study, and they've developed an inception report, and they've been consulting with the power pools. We've so far, to date, we've consulted with all the power pools except for COMELEC, which we're still working on. And also we have seen a strategic, we have also seen a strategic opportunity that exists because of the Mediterranean transmission systems operators association, which includes some of our countries in North Africa, and we have consulted with them, and we will probably be also consulting with MEDREC as well, and through this we will be able, once that electricity market has been set up, to then leverage on the infrastructure that is already being created in the Mediterranean to enable power trade between Africa and Europe, the Middle East, and with Asia. So that is the long-term objective, and that is the long-term that is also what we are aiming at to achieve as a continent. And I must also appreciate the cooperation that we are receiving from the power pools, and also the good working relationship that we have with AUC, and the support that we are receiving from the EU, and the experience that we are getting from there as well. So I think, in a nutshell, that's it from my end, Krishna. And if there are any questions, at least we can then address them.
Thank you, Tish, for this very, very enlightening presentation that shows us the beyond the plans, the broader picture now, exactly concretely what's happening. So you mentioned about the PDAP-1 projects, and then I can tell you that from what we're seeing in the
Your mic is muted.
I was muted, sorry. Yes, thank you, Tish, about this very good presentation. And we have seen, actually, you've showed us the beyond the master plans, actually the actual progress happening in PDAP-1 on the ground. And from the feedback from the preliminary projects we have seen on the website to date, the 22 energy projects, a large number of these projects are in the transmission sector, which shows the importance and the that member states and RECs gave to the transmission sector to make this single market a reality, as you've explained. So I think we've reached midway, and since our next two presentations are more linked to, I would say, the renewable and sustainability dimension, I would perhaps suggest if we have some quick questions, we could take them now, and maybe not more than 15 minutes, and then we move to the presentations and the second round of questions. Charlie, do you have any questions yet in the box?
No, Krishna, no questions.
Okay. I can see no hands are raised also. So maybe in that case, maybe I would invite you to type your questions if you, in the meantime, want to raise some questions, and we could proceed with the balance of the presentations. So can we, I think Georges, your presentation is next. I guess you will share your screen. Since I don't have your presentation. Is Georges still connected, or did he have a connection issue?
No, I'm still here. I'm just share the screen, but that's there is a problem with that. Sorry.
There's the share screen button, the green button in at the bottom.
Yes. Well, share screen. I tried, but it's basic advanced.
No, then you need to select the difficulty, selecting the right window, the right, Okay,
Okay, there's maybe.
Okay, we can do one thing if you're having issues now, since I don't have your presentation. Maybe if Nopenyo is ready. Okay, oh la la. Okay, I think I didn't load your presentation. So now, since I'm recording, I can't open it. Nopenyo, maybe. Are you okay, Georges? Would you be able to share it, or should we?
Not yet. I'm sorry. Not yet. No.
Okay. So Nopenyo, if you're ready, maybe you can share your screen, and then we can see your presentation. Yeah. Thank you. Let's take this one first, and then we'll come back to Georges' presentation. Thank you. Over to you, Nopenyo. We can't hear you, Nopenyo. Maybe you need to unmute your mic.
Hello, can you hear me now? Hello.
We can hear you now. Go on. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. All right. Thanks. So, I'll briefly just be talking about what IRENA is doing currently on in Sub-Saharan Africa. Both related to interconnected aspects, but also related to the work we're doing to support off-grid and access through those decentralized renewable energy solutions. So briefly then, so our, in terms of engaging with the African continent, we work according to regions, so mostly divided along the regional economic communities, and we have initiative covering all of them. So as at IRENA, I cover the Sub-Saharan Africa region, which covers initiatives such as the Africa Clean Energy Corridor, which I'll just explain in a bit, which covers the Eastern and Southern Africa regions, more the power pools, also the West Africa Clean Energy Corridor.
Maybe Nopenyo, if you can maximize your screen and slideshow, that would help colleagues to see better because the font is very small. Can you? Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And, so then the West Africa Clean Energy Corridor, which we implement together with the West African colleagues and also our nascent engagement in Central Africa, through our collaboration with the Economic Community of Central African States, so the Secretariat and the division that work on energy and water. And we also have the Pan-Arab Clean Energy Initiative as well. So talking about the clean energy corridors themselves, the first one was initiated in 2014 together with the East Africa Power Pool and the West Africa Power Pool, with the objective to promote more renewable energy solutions and also to support and strengthen the cross-border trade of electricity coming from these sources. So the implementation of corridors is based on five areas of work or pillars, as we call them, being resource assessment and zoning, and also supporting national and regional planning efforts. The third pillar is supporting the development of or the implementation of enabling frameworks that will attract investment. The third one is capacity building. Capacity building is actually pretty much maybe the strongest of the pillars, and as it covers all the other sectors. So building capacities in assessing the available and economic potential. And so building capacities on planning aspects and all the other areas related to enabling frameworks of investment, so on regulation or even on some of the technical grid integration issues. And the fifth one is the political aspect. So yeah, as I explained earlier, so it's we work together on that with the regional economic communities and the institutions. In West Africa, for example, we have strong working relationships with ECRI and also the West Africa Power Pool, and also ERERA, which is the regional regulator. And in the case of Southern Africa, we work closely with SACRI and RERA, and also with SAC. And same applies for East Africa, where we work quite closely with the very recent East Africa Center for Renewable Energy, EACRE-based in Kampala. And so in 2017, we started engaging as well with Central Africa, which might have been missing from our engagement in the region for a bit. And together with the Secretariat of the ECAS, we worked to come up with a roadmap, a renewable energy roadmap, which will help the region and its members to effectively reap the benefits of the renewable energy potential. As we know, it's a region that has quite a lot of hydro resources, but also we find some strong wind and solar resources, especially in the country in the north, talking about Chad and Cameroon, for example. And so along that process, we identified six areas of work that are part of the roadmap. So the first one related to renewable energy assessment. So going from the kind of this theoretical potential to actually come and assess to what level those resources are economically feasible. And in the case of that region, we see that there's quite a lot of room for access-related issues, especially because we have an access rate which is lower in some countries than 30%, and on average in the region is about 60%. And so the resource assessment would then be quite important. And also there's the issue of energy data, trying to how to collect, process and disseminate reliable renewable energy data in general regarding demand and production, for example. And now also working on long-term planning. And in this aspect, we've also started an engagement with the Central Africa Power Pool recently, working through the planning committee to build capacity of different countries, both ministries and utilities, on modeling and how to include more variable renewable energy, wind and solar, in the planning process. So one other area of action is the enabling frameworks, and also project finance, how to develop projects first of all, and how to actually get them to bankability and potentially linking them up with financial institutions. And also there's this whole skill development aspect across the value chain, which is also quite important, that we also identified as one of the key areas. So I was mentioning earlier, I'm just going through the pillars of the Clean Energy Corridor concept. We worked in 2015 already, actually, on a zoning study, which aimed at identifying zones with high resource potential, but also economically feasible for the development of solar PV, CSP, and also wind. And in doing that, we actually took into consideration several aspects, which include exclusion criteria, for example, like protected areas, water bodies, airports, but also other siting criteria, for example, the slope of the area, the population density, and also distance to transmission line substations and major load centers, for example. And in doing that, so I'm talking about the map here, the example here on the right, we have developed these country maps for all the countries of the Eastern African and Southern African power pools. Those are very interactive maps that people can actually then use to actually see what zones, for example, are important and feasible for wind or CSP or solar PV. So once we have done that, we've actually gone on a training and trained members of utilities and ministries across the two regions to use those maps. And that has yielded some results in some countries where it has been taken account into the planning processes later on, and also power procurement. And now currently in the process of PIDA, we are trying to also use to build on these results to identify now which areas could actually be quite important for regional or continental level projects. So trying to take into account consideration, I mean, the demand projections in the country, and also the cost of renewables, which are declining every year, and trying to act, to come up then with some of those possible projects that could be looked into by some of the countries. In West Africa, some a similar exercise has been done, but with, I guess, with fewer criteria. Some of the cost elements were not really taken into consideration there. But I mean, as you can see on the map on the right, it was done at the regional level, not at the country level, actually. So it was done in Eastern and Southern Africa. And you try to identify then which areas are suitable for both on-grid and off-grid wind and solar. And some of those criteria also went into the consideration as well, though, like distance to transmission, existing transmission line or planned transmission lines, but also major load centers and other projects that have been considered by other countries. Another service that actually we have developed in-house, which fall into the whole resource assessment and zoning aspect, which is also the site assessment service, which that means is trying to assess the financial pre-feasibility of areas that countries have selected or are thinking about developing renewable energy projects, wind and solar. So in a practical case, for example, a country comes to us saying, okay, we want to develop X and Y zones or sites, and can you please help us understand what tariff should be considered as acceptable so that in our negotiations with project developers, we know how to use that. And we've actually have assessed about over 110 sites across 10 countries on the continent. And in some instances, even that has actually led some countries to actually renegotiate some projects that they had already agreed on years ago, or in some other countries that actually helped fit that feature into the auctions that they set up later on. But quickly, as I was explaining earlier about the long-term planning work, which is based on the zoning work, some of the work is goes into national and regional planning exercises. Looking up in West Africa, for example, when the WAP, or as the region professor called it, the ECOWAS master plan was being developed, in 2018, we worked very closely together to actually come up with the different scenarios that were rather featured into the master plan. And at country level, we also worked closely with we've worked closely with Eswatini in development of the 2024 energy master plan, and also working currently with Sierra Leone, which is near finalization. At the same time, we're also starting the conversation with Cameroon for a renewable energy master plan as well. So as far as the enabling frameworks for investment are concerned, I mean, one area is that, first of all, you need to really understand what countries really feel are the bottlenecks for deploying more renewables into their national systems. And for that reason, we came up with the idea of the renewables readiness assessment. Back in the early days, the first one was conducted in Senegal in 2012, to pretty much have, it's a country-led, but facilitated by IRENA process that, you know, we go to the country and we have a discussion with all the stakeholders, private sector, academia, rural notification agencies, utilities, regulators, just trying to see what are the main issues. And we come up usually 7-8 key actions that are taken forward for implementation later on. So we've done about 14 or so in Africa, and one is being planned to start later this year in Burkina Faso while we're completing the one in Botswana. And once from those renewables readiness assessments, a lot of issues have come up. And I mean, this small pie chart here on the left, it shows you how the spread. So quite a lot of them were on policy and strategy, but also capacity building and support for regulatory, on regulatory aspects have also been quite important. And those actions that have been identified through those renewable readiness assessments have been implemented in three ways. Some of them directed by the country, especially when it comes to legislation. In Senegal, for example, one example was in 2012, after the RRA, there was a law pending for renewable energy, which was then, with our help, really much get the National Assembly to pass the law. And we have done post-RRA technical assistance in other countries, that's by IRENA itself, and which have actually helped develop other regional programs related to access, for example, the certification of solar PV installers or even the entrepreneurship facility for the next time. And some other technical assistance activities have been taken over by other partners, such as the World Bank or USAID in some of the specific countries. So, and then in terms of pretty much capacity building support within that framework of the enabling framework for enhancement, we've done quite a lot of capacity building activities, and we still have quite a lot in the planning. I'm not going to go through all the list, but currently, as we speak, we are running this regional capacity building program on long-term planning in Central Africa, which I've been talking about, just trying to understand how renewables can feature more into the long-term planning aspects, both on the on-grid, not grid-connected aspects, but also looking at how this can be considered for energy access and off-grid. Because in some of those countries, renewable energy solutions have shown to be the most effective solutions for access, especially when grid extension is very expensive. And the supply in the already existing grid is not as reliable. And in West Africa, we are working together now with the West Africa Power Pool and ECRI on continuing two programs we've already started, which are on the development of renewable energy PPAs and on grid integration. So the planning and operation of grids with higher shares of variable renewable energy, and so that one is very much focused on utilities, whereas the PPA one is focused on ministries and regulators. And so, in terms of energy access, there is quite a lot of work that needs to be done, and. Under our global framework of the International Off-Grid Renewable Energy Conference, which is IREC, which is held every second year, we try to provide some sort of platform for knowledge exchange and best practices among different approaches that have been used worldwide to scale up off-grid renewable energy. And the IREC happens every second year. Two have already happened in Africa, the first one 2012 in Ghana. In 2016, there was also a third one then in Kenya. And this year, we're also planning to have the fifth one in Nigeria. But given the current situation, that has been postponed to probably next year. But then under this overall framework, we started a project or program called PROSPER, or Promoting Solar PV Market in West Africa, which had three aspects. One, looking at understanding the issues faced by policymakers and how to develop their capacities and how to provide technical assistance to them. The other one focused on financial institutions. What do they need to better appraise small-scale renewable energy projects, and for them to even get a deeper understanding of the technology itself, and also for renewable energy entrepreneurs, because at the end of the day, they are very key in upscaling these solutions, which in their turn, you know, helps us reach our 2030 development target. And so from that came the ECOWAS Entrepreneurship Support Facility, which we run together with ECRI, the ECOWAS Center for Renewable Energy and Energy Efficiency, which has had its own level of impact and then is now part of the bigger projects of the regional off-grid electrification project run by the World Bank. So one of the outcomes is, of course, that, you know, some of those entrepreneurs actually reached financial deals with some of the financial institutions that were even in the program. And also the creation of this solar PV, this regional solar PV association, which kind of helps and promotes exchange between project developers or SMEs across the region. And also sometimes they actually enter deals together so that with mutual benefits. And that in the SADC region as well, this we have launched the Entrepreneurship Support Facility in 2017, and with a special focus on gender and youth. And I was pleased to see that Cornelia Limpige from SACRI is also there, because she's the one coordinating the implementation of this facility in the SADC region. So as we stand now, I mean, the first call has been done and entrepreneurs have been selected, and now we are going through the stages to provide this technical support to the first batch. Still, as well in the ECOWAS region, we've been working together with the regional partners to establish a certification for sustainable energy skills, focused on developing curricula with training institutions and universities across the region to actually have a standard certificate that can be that is valid across all the 15 countries. So the implementation is going well. I mean, there have been some exams in Senegal and Ghana, and now it's just a matter of scaling it up towards through the rest of the region. And one conversation that also started before, but which is quite relevant for this COVID situation we are at the moment, is also the renewable energy solutions for healthcare facilities. I mean, we had already started this conversation during on the sidelines of IOREC in 2018, which happened in, not in Africa this time, but in Singapore. And we have had several conversations with countries in Africa, which are expressed the difficulties they have when it comes to the power supply into those rural health facilities. So from that, we developed a program to, first of all, kind of assess the needs in terms of just technical, the size of the installations, but also now the business models and the policy aspect that will come into supporting this promotion of this electricity access to the health clinics. We're currently doing the work in Burkina Faso, and hopefully also try to expand that to other countries as well. So that's the brief overview from my side. And so should there be further questions, I'll be happy to take them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nopenyo. Thank you very much. Actually, we said that this was going to be a bilingual session. I know you're fully bilingual from Togo. So maybe we can catch up in the question time. So, collègue francophone, comme on n'a pas en fait répété les slides en français parce que certains de nos collègues ne sont pas francophones, mais vous êtes libre de poser vos questions en français. On va faire les traductions dans la session de questions et réponses. Maybe back to Georges. Georges, have you been able to sort out the sharing of screen, or maybe if that,
I don't see the any advance. I mean, it's still cannot find the right. I mean, I have the menu, but it's
okay. Can you send it? Can you email it to one of us?
I've sent it to you, Krishna. Ah, yes.
Okay, so, let me check. Yeah, I think I have an issue. There is a problem with the server here. There is a problem with the server. So what I suggest is, can you send it to somebody else? I'll type my Gmail. And in the meantime, I'll type my Gmail in the box, and then you can try to send it there. I will try to retrieve it. But in the meantime, we should go on to the discussions and question and answers while we sort this out. So let me share my Gmail.
Also, if Stefan is online, maybe he can. He also has received it.
Okay. Stefan. Yeah.
Thanks. I'm trying, and I will just see if I can share my screen if I sort this out also.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. We can see the screen. In the meantime, Shali, any feedback about questions yet? No?
None so far, Krishna.
Okay.
None so far as well from Cornwall, Stanley, Malawi. I think we're going to proceed. No questions still.
Okay. So we can see George's screen. Perfect.
Yes, but I cannot go to the. Maybe wait. Can you see this now, or can you see the PowerPoint screen or not?
It's not yet there.
Not yet there. I think connecting. Yeah. Slow connection probably takes some time sometimes, but please try sharing again.
No. Maybe I will try to discuss with you the points, and Stefano can try to see the solution. But for me, the presentation is just a bit around the sustainable energy investment platform. That is something very specific, but I think it's worth for us to discuss a bit more broadly. So I'm very glad that, you know, with this problem that appeared, I had the chance to see also the presentation of IRENA, which is very close to our heart and what we would like to see. And the way from the part of the team, the unit I'm representing in the European Commission, DigiDevCo, but also the EU delegations in all of Africa, we would like to see this kind of planning that is really based on GIS data, on a thorough analysis of the resources, the renewable energy resources. So I think if we have to discuss PIDA, because today I think we're going around PIDA and also the energy part of PIDA. But PIDA is an infrastructure program. So the energy part of it does not cover, let's say, fully the whole energy sector, but it really is the main program at continental level that can contribute to what you will see if we manage to connect to make sure that the infrastructure is there, so that in the case of energy, the different projects, especially of generation, can develop. So this is really crucial. And of course, it's not. We have had PIDA projects before, and if I have the chance, I can show you how much the EU has been really behind all this effort. Myself, I've been working in the energy sector in Africa more, but the energy sector since 2012. I think you will be surprised to see just how many projects we have. There is a lot of EU support in West Africa, for example, the whole, most of the WAP interconnection projects, there is a grant element of the EU because the intervention of the EU is through grants. And this is this makes leveraging other financiers like financing institutions such as African Development Bank, European Investment Bank, and banks like IFD, KfW, in this big infrastructure project. So, for example, the CLSG pipeline, the North Core, Ghana-Cote d'Ivoire interconnection, connection between Ghana, Burkina, Bolgatanga, Ouagadougou, also Mali, Guinea, Lin San Fumi. So these are very, very crucial elements for the building of the WAP. The EU is there. And also, there has been a lot of EU cooperation around let's say, the software of power pools in the WAP, for example, the control and information center of the WAP in Cotonou. So I think, you know, we are I don't know if we can, maybe I'll start presenting also elements of the SEI platform, that the Sustainable Energy Investment Platform. So at some point, of course, you know that there is a long-standing partnership between Africa and EU through the Africa-Europe Energy Partnership that has been going on since 2007. I'm very happy that also Chris Benzana is, I think, is in the call, and he has been following really with all his heart this effort in Addis Ababa and all the capitals. This has been very good, and very good to bring together the way of thinking of the two continents for the development of Africa. At the, since 1 year and more, we have had, let's say, a revamp of this initiative, and lately in March we have had a communication about how the two continents should engage. But before that, there was a decision for an alliance of Africa announced by the then President Juncker of the European Commission. So what happened is that there was an effort of around 40 people, personalities and the people coming from private sector, public sector, utilities, from many different backgrounds. Joining forces on to define what are the problems that have to be dealt with the energy in Africa, and this was closely followed by the African Union Commission. We're very glad to have with us Director Beda, and also Mr. Tef Marzouk, that is very frequently followed these meetings. These meetings were very open, a lot of discussions, very open discussions. A lot of brainstorming, and I think, you know, I had in my slide to present you some of the results, but the result is, other people today have highlighted, that we need to have the infrastructure to develop the energy generation. This has been clear also at you know, the macro level, at the level of a lot of gigawatt or megawatt generation, but also at the level providing access to energy at the rural level. So it's really it was clear coming out from the bottom, from what all of these 40 people thought, that, you know, we have to develop this partnership. Thank you very much, Stefan. So I will just go just directly to slide 3 if it's possible, Stefan. I'm jumping in a bit up and down, and thank you very much, Stefan, because it's been a bit embarrassing not to be able to share. But you can see here again about the effort of the EU, that actually in the last financial framework, the EU has actually blended around 3 billion for sub-Saharan Africa. And you will see the countries where we had the focal sector. For example, just to tell you an example, 150 million in Nigeria, 140 million Cote d'Ivoire, also 100 million in Liberia, and similar amounts, I think 150 million in Ethiopia. So big envelopes at this national level that were also increased by envelopes at
George, is your mic is mute.
Sorry, can you hear me now, Christian? Yes? Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes. We can hear you now, but it was muted for a few seconds. Go on.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for signaling this. So I was saying that, you know, for example, just as an example, in the ECOWAS region, the 200 million of the EU at the form, in the form of grants, pure grants, were blended around 6 to 10 times for projects also like interconnection lines that I mentioned before, but also other projects like solar, hydropower, and wind energy, not in West Africa, but for example, in East Africa, it was the Lake Turkana project, Ruzizi Power, and now we're even moving with the rest of this envelope that is now the last year of commitment, moving to also blending some of our grants with in hydropower project in Madagascar, in the South Africa project, with lead the African Development Bank in the lead. Just to say that, you know, if you there is a lot of EU activity that in projects that it's not very clear, but the EU is also contributing. So maybe Stefan, if I can just go to the next slide that shows very quickly what are a very schematic way what our priorities have been: access to energy, renewable energy, and the fight against climate change. So you see that the two of them, the two last one, are also are showing the importance of energy transition. For access to energy, we all know what needs to be done. And then the next slide is about more or less what has been the repartition of our projects. You'll see energy generation figuring prominently, and I will talk about this and our view that coincides with the view of Irina, I guess, that we need to use auctions. Transmission lines, very important, but we have been doing this, and TA is necessary. Just to mention that for the technical assistance facility for sub-Saharan Africa since 2014 has been around 40 million. So there were at least 200 actions in almost, it's only a few countries in Africa that did not have actions from the technical assistance facility. One thing to mention is that I was very glad to hear about the clean energy corridors, and it is actually one of the first analyses for the clean energy corridor in West Africa. The solar corridor was also through the technical assistance facility. And you can see that there are areas like energy efficiency where we need to put more. At the moment, we're launching a new program for energy efficiency together with the European Investment Bank. But okay, I move to the next so that I can advance with not keeping you too long. This is the announcement of the alliance that led to the Sustainable Investment Platform. This was in 2018, December. And then right away, we started the platform. Maybe we can move to the next. And this is, you can see the participants, as I mentioned, Director Beda, Kande Yumkela, that the former leader of the Sustainable Energy for All initiative that actually kick-started. And the mandate was to identify key challenges and draw up recommendations. And we were very glad that this was supported by the Africa EU Energy Partnership and the EU Technical Assistance Facility. And then in the next slide, I will just show, starting to show, I will stay a bit here, not too long, but this is the main slide I will keep for you, the recommendation. I put in red the ones that are very more relevant to PIDA, which is in a sustainable energy transmission network, boosting renewable energy sources, and regional integration. So these were maybe for us in our company here, it's that I saw all of your profiles is very much you know, living and breathing with energy. This is nothing new for you, but it's really very good that you know these recommendations were confirmed. And I cannot present it in this slide here, but I can share the link with you because the more detailed analysis of this recommendation is available. And there is actually a big, more detailed report that we can all use. But the most important is that this was independent. So there are another two, three slides that will go quite quickly. Thank you, Stefan. So you can see a pipeline of effective and impactful projects. This is about PIDA, what's going on now in PIDA. We also have the Array initiative that was also counting the contribution of every donor to this effort, the power plants, and then the importance of tendering processes and covering the whole project cycle and one-stop shop. I will stay a bit in the one-stop shop to show some of the instruments that exist from the EU side, because my focus today is both on these recommendations, but also in partially what can be done to finance the PIDA projects when these are chosen. Next slide, please, Stefan. It's there is a use of de-risking tools and de-risking packages. This is something I did not mention, that since 2 years now, we have a big project of guarantees for around 300 million euros of guarantees that are going to be leveraged at least 15 times to cover, for example, the non-payment risk for an IPP producer. So there is an elaborate system set in place in close cooperation with the financiers. And this is actually today, it's our preferred, from the EU side, the preferred way to work with IPPs and generation projects. Really, we see that the market and the prices are really close to being even more competitive than fossil fuels. So it's really a question, especially in Africa, to cover the risk. And at the moment, there's a lot of people from financial institutions working on this, on how to do this, to create the right products. And these financiers are, again, African Development Bank, European Investment Bank, IFD, the Spanish agency, IFID, and KfW, the German agency. So next slide, please. So the regional integration also is something that, you know, all of us here preach a lot. I am mentioning also the African Clean Energy Corridor. These are concepts that we really, from our side, we fully support. And we really want to be also part of that and work together on this, because this is the kind of planning that we want to see. And market rules, this is something that I think it was mentioned extensively by Mr. Atef Marzouk about what is going on at the regulation level. Very successful interventions of the African Union Commission right at the center of the issues. And of course, technical assistance will always needs to be there. And the last point, I will elaborate the cost-benefit analysis of transmission network infrastructure. Thank you, sir. So the next slide, please. So this is a quick reminder of how the EU has involved its involvement with financing. So this is we are learning, we are improving ourselves to make these financial tools available. You will see that there are already projects being financed. You might know also the risk mitigation facility for the GRMF, but also different other platforms that are indirectly being financed by the EU. We're improving. Next slide, please. So I wanted to also on the side of financing projects, you know, which will come after the projects are chosen, but this is the external investment plan, which is, let's say, the umbrella instrument of the EU that is also comprising of the three elements of having technical assistance, to improve the investment climate. These are, let's say, the soft actions, but then the hard, which is the pillar number one, which are the actual investments that I explained. It can be in grants, in equity, and also with guarantees, as I mentioned. So let's all keep in mind the external investment plan. Thank you. Next slide, please. This is an example of I think a very relevant financing mechanism that is very much fit for big infrastructure projects, especially in generation. It is the fund called Climate Investor One with FMO, which is the Dutch Development Agency. So we are very glad to have been working with this financial institution, because they are very experienced. And they have really a very good portfolio of renewable energy projects that have this notion of having a layered fund. So you can see that, you know, that in this way of financing, we can see all of the elements that are needed to have a successful investment. And these IPPs is mainly an investment financed by the private sector. So I think the public sector has only the role of, you know, enabling before the agreement, having preparing the scheme, but then it's really the financing is up to the private sector. So this is, let's say, a model that we think is very, very relevant. Next slide, please, Stefan. So, and this is the last part that I also, it was in the agenda for today, that at the part of policy, less technical this time, we want to move to a closer relationship, to more a close initiative with Africa. You will see in the next slide, please, Stefano. That is an initiative that has been announced after also the summit, the last summit that was in 2007 in Abidjan. And we are planning for a next Africa EU summit in the end of this year, hopefully, if all goes well. And the
ils ont vraiment développé un projet dessus. Tu peux avoir les infos de d'autres pays.
And there is a clear mention of a partnership for grid transition and energy access. So maybe this will sound a bit political, or but believe me, this will be something that will translate to even more close action between Africa and EU, and we're all, let's say, trying to shape this together. Next slide, Stefano, thank you. And these are my two last slides. These are just more personal recommendations, let's say, from my part, following these dossiers. I think we need to see, as Irina mentioned, the integration of intermittent renewables. And we really want to have to see a vision of this going around. Sometimes, you know, in the analysis of power pools that the team of the TAF has performed together with AUDANEPAD, Tsimbini, and I think we see a tendency of power pools to go the traditional way, to plan with coal, to plan with gas. But I think there is a way or an alternative way, and we need to all of us to work together to show what this way is. And it's towards the integration of intermittent renewables to energy storage and planning and integration and power pool together. And then infrastructure that is going to serve this. And the third point is the financial. This is a bit more personal, but I think we really need to when examining the PIDA project, we need to see that, you know, when the moment, the timeline of the construction of the project, that, you know, the moment we put the transmission line into service and before electrifying it, I think that really we still have to have the demand, because having an interconnection line that is not transmitting energy one way or the other way, it's like a road that does not have traffic. So we really need to be alert when examining those projects and make sure that there is a realistic timeline and these projects are going, all these huge investments are going to be used from day one. Otherwise, they're not financially viable. And then it's access to energy through decentralized access is also something to keep in mind. It's not possible to electrify everybody in Africa through on-grid. So I'm very glad that all of us are also integrating this in our thoughts. And maybe the last slide, I think it's about some the discussion of some priorities, which is regulation and planning. That we're already doing at many levels, continental, regional, and I think this is going forward quite well. And connections, that it's really what we want to see in power pools, regional and PIDA, but also planning through GIS, mentioned by Irina, not only for renewable energy, but also for energy access. So we also have the Joint Research Center, JRC, if some of you have heard of it, that has excellent applications to GIS, very good publications. They're working on Africa using satellite data. This can be really useful for planning. And I think we can join forces. So this is my last slide. And auctions, sorry, the auctions is clearly the way ahead. At the moment, we are also working with financiers and different countries to, there is a successful example of scaling solar, but I think we'll be seeing more examples in the future. So I hope this has been not too much back and forth and not too incoherent, but thank you for listening to that. And thank you. Up to you, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Georgios. Thank you, Stefan, for your help. Can you hear me? Can you all hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Perfect. So thank you, Georgios, again. Very, very good presentation about the work of EU. And I think a few things, maybe a few comments before we move to the question time. You mentioned GIS tools for planning purposes. So we're having a special session this Thursday. As you know, we have 5 EU experts in the 5 PDA sectors, but you also have a 5th expert working on GIS, on graphical tools. So Mr. Hisham Boghdadi on Thursday. Our Thursday webinar will be dedicated to the graphical interface. And one of the things that we're trying to do is to precisely to see how by superposing layers of demographic data, existing infrastructure, planned infrastructure, we can see, actually we can use these tools for planning purposes, see the corridors emerging, the growth corridors, industrial corridors, logistics corridors emerging graphically, okay, and how they follow the population growth and future population growth projected. The other point I wanted to make is concerning the question of energy transition and the infrastructure sectors. I think data, and this is showing up actually, gradually we're seeing a shift actually, as I said when we went through the list of projects already on the website, you can see there's this ECOWAS project for 20,000 villages, which is obviously through a mixture of off-grid and grid extension. And so I think PIDA is a key tool actually to think about the energy transition, because for a number of reasons, because if you look at the transport sector, actually it's mobility. And one of the areas which is emerging very fast is sustainable electric mobility. And the moment the single market, you mentioned that very key problem of demand, actually. When you build a transmission line, is there enough demand? Is there enough power flow, energy flow on this line to make it viable? But I think the reality in Africa is also that there is a lot of suppressed demand, that is people are using other means, diesel pumps and all that. And the moment, the experience actually has shown for people doing off-grid, the experience has shown that although there is no demand, there is no electricity actually, all the villages are not electrified, the moment the news comes that there is an electrification project, a mini grid project, people start sending equipment actually, the diaspora starts sending their productive equipment, TV sets, whatever, and that creates an immediate demand, which from zero. The other big opportunity, which you mentioned in your slides, clean cooking, but we noticed very, very, I would say, small figures, actually. Clean cooking is probably one of the most, I would say, least sectors which has received the least attention for a number of reasons, because it's a difficult sector, and a lot of the focus has been on biomass, improved cook stoves and all that. But Ethiopia actually has shown that probably one of the easiest ways to solve the clean cooking problem is electric clean cooking, including now with induction cookers, very cheap and efficient electric induction cookers, and which could actually transform the whole paradigm, actually provide a very, very easy solution to address the clean cooking problem. And so I think mobility, transport sector, whether it's, we already have electric rail systems, electric rail projects, which is electric mobility in itself, but there are many other, I think there are many other emerging models like two-wheeler electric mobility, which I think the UNEP is piloting in East Africa.
So all these are very, very promising models towards the energy transition. And finally, you will see, if you go on the website, you will see there is a very draft project for Morocco, which is on hydrogen, actually. So I think they're building on the work which was done by the AEEP team on liquid fuels, how to convert excess variable solar energy, renewable energy, into hydrogen and then liquid fuel as an export business, as an export opportunity for the towards energy transition. It is a big part of energy transition, which has not been addressed, and which is the hardest part, the liquid fuel part. And probably hydrogen is part of the solution. So we may have, we already have a concept, an idea of a project from Morocco, which we will try to help them to firm up and make it a PIDA project. I think I'll stop here. We should now open the floor to questions. If there are any questions already in the box, we can address them. Otherwise, colleagues, now is the time. You can raise your hands or go on and ask your questions.
Krishna, there's none on the chat box.
Okay. I think the presentations were very detailed. Actually, that in itself is a lot of material now we need to digest. For information, we will try to, upload the most of the presentations on the website, so they will be available. And then you can download them and review them at your own pace, especially those who couldn't connect or had to leave.
Krishna?
Yes?
There's one question from Crispin.
Yes.
And asking if this is a question to Rena and the RECs. Given the desire for RECs to propose a few more renewable energy projects for PIDAPAP 2, are there any specific renewable energy projects from IRENA planning with the RPPs that can still be suggested for PIDAPAP 2? And I think his mic is on, so he can elaborate further.
Yes, please go on.
Hello.
Yes.
This is specifically for the RECs and the power pools.
Yes,
as they have undergone some planning sessions with IRENA, and I would assume the outputs were identifying some projects which could be of regional benefits. So the question is, do we still have some projects which have not found their way to the platform? So that, I mean, the time is closing. As you said, that the closing date is end of this month. We don't have a lot of time. But if there are already projects, people could just assess them and look at them and then put them onto the platform. That's my question.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Crispin. Do we have, a few people from, we have Edvan from SADC Secretariat, Edvan Moyo. We have, who else? Younes from WUMA. Probably some other colleagues. I can see colleagues from Nancy Taha, I think from Egypt. Comesa and all that. So colleagues, maybe Edvan, do you want to intervene in terms of the clean energy corridor, the southern region clean energy corridor? The question is whether from that type of work, whether we can identify some potential renewable energy projects. I know that in Western Africa, they've been very, very active. Apart from that 20,000 villages PRODEL project from ECOWAS, there are three WAP solar farms, I think in Gambia, Mali, and another West African country. So they have been, they have been very active, and WAP has been. And anybody from ECOWAS or from one of these countries connected today? So basically, from my little knowledge of WAP, what I can tell you is that the strategy is very simple. In the Western region, the WAP is that these countries in, I would say, in the Sahel belt, where there's a lot of solar resource, Burkina, Mali, and Gambia, and all that, they have a lot of solar resource. So the idea is to build large solar farms so that during the day they would export power to the coastal cities towards the Abidjan, Accra, etc., Lagos, and during the night the extra capacity, the spare generation capacity, thermal capacity of these coastal cities would then feed the Sahel region to cater for the evening peak. That is the strategy that is being implemented, I would say, quite successfully at the level of WAP, because we have already have free projects, free PDAC projects on the website. You can have a look, and in this Sahel belt. And so, Edvand, coming back to the question, do you have anything at the level of SADC identified, or with the potential to be included in PDAP up to? Okay, maybe we cannot hear from him, or maybe he's not hearing us. I don't know.
Krishna, who are you calling for?
Edvand Moyo.
Let me check.
Edvand PO Energy SADC Secretariat, Project Officer of Energy, EP.
Oh, Edvand, you're muted.
Okay, I'm trying to unmute him. Okay, so I think we can move on to maybe Younes. Younes, do you have at the level of UMA, maybe can you brief us whether you have in UMA some plans for renewable energy projects? Hello, Younes. Okay, maybe he's also he's connected, but maybe he can't hear us. Who else could intervene? Wants to intervene? Okay, I think we don't have the other recs connected today. Especially, we don't have ECAS.
Yes, may I come in?
Yeah, please. Oh, maybe introduce yourself. We can't. Moses. Yeah, Moses. Yeah.
Yeah, Moses from SADC. Yeah.
Ah, go on.
I'm I'm also trying to search my colleagues. I think he has issues that maybe he came in and he left earlier. I mean, Edvand Moyo. Yes.
Yeah. Go on.
Yes, we have the mega scale projects also in the pipeline, but they are not yet ready for submission for this round for this the PIDA PAP 2, mainly because we are aware that the regional projects, as they are defined by the guidelines, they have to benefit two or more countries.
Yes.
But there is a project that we are, they are still at the concept phase in terms of mega scale solar farms.
Yeah.
Solar power generation between Namibia and Botswana.
Okay.
Yes. So, but we didn't put them now and in this round.
Yes.
Once they are at the advanced stage of development or preparation, then and member states are well on board in that regard.
Okay. But I would like to maybe, if you take the ECOWAS example, actually.
Yes.
These farms, these solar PV farms, are actually in only one country. And the argument there is exactly the argument of the power pool. That is, it's exactly like the port, you know, it's the analogy of a port. A port is never in two countries, it's always in one country. But the logistic services, the hinterland served, the hinterland, how would you call it, l'IEPI in France, in French, the hinterland, which is served by a port for the roads and rails, etc., constitutes the regional dimension of the project. So even though a port is in one country, even though a power plant, let's say thermal power plant, is in one country, it can serve a region, actually several countries in the region. And I just give you the example of WAP, whereby three solar PV farms have already been input and validated in the system as PIDA Part 2, just because it appears in the WAP. And in their strategy, as we explained, this is how they plan to use these farms within the region to share power between a zone, an area where there's an excess of power during the day, and an area where there's an excess of power during the night. Okay, through the WAP, through the transmission network. So in the same vein, actually, in the same logic, if at the level of SAP, Southern Region, you could demonstrate that as long as the project appears in the SAP master plan or planning documents, and if the logic is that the project can share power across the region, especially across time zones, actually. Because the other advantage maybe you could have in the southern region is that you have this, probably between Namibia and Mozambique, you have quite a delay, actually, a few hours of sunlight you could share, actually. So you see what I mean? So across the power pool. So, but the problem is, if you miss this round, if you miss the PIDA Part 2 round, then the next round is literally in 10 years' time. So I would strongly advise you to relook at this. And if you have, I know that SADC is very, very meticulous about ownership, country ownership. So if you believe there's enough ownership from these beneficiary and member countries, then I would strongly suggest go on, at least input your project and let the task force decide whether it meets whatever eligibility or selection criteria, because don't forget there is also a long list of projects. So the 50 is the 50 projects in the shortlist that will receive immediate attention in the few years to come. But since this is a 10-year time frame, the long list of probably another 50-60 projects will progressively upgrade to the shortlist as the shortlist projects are cleared. So you might as well want to make sure that these projects, which will happen, which could happen in the next 10 years, are documented in the PIDA Part 2 website, because this is a, this will be a, I would say, political approval, actually, at the summit level. Once it is approved at the summit level, then you don't need to go back to political clearances. You can just focus on the studies, legal studies, and implementation and financial close, etc. So if you believe it's a project which is, as you said, you mentioned advanced stage of studies, then it makes, you know, still a better case to at least insert the project as a PIDA Part 2 project. That would be my advice. Thank you.
Krista.
Yeah, Tish.
Yes, I would like to compliment what you've just said. We've been watching that project from AUDA side, and I think it's if Moses, you've got any information that you have on that project, would also second Krishna's recommendation for you to propose it as a PIDA project.
Yes, your advice is taken. We'll consider that in the next 10 days to see how we, and maybe to liaise with the relevant member states to ensure that we put this forward. And like you say, that it's a long-term planning horizon of 10 years. We'll take it that way. I'll liaise and discuss with my colleagues internally to see how we approach this project.
Thank you, Moses. And if you need help, if you need any assistance, don't hesitate. Ourselves at AUDA, Tish team in... at AUC Tish team. And then we have Mr. Engeda, who is our energy expert from EUISM. If you need some specific assistance or help to answer questions or to improve the submission, then by all means, please don't hesitate to contact us as soon as possible. Thank you. Shali, any other questions in the box or hands raised?
Yes, there's an intervention from Nancy Taha from the Ministry of Electricity and Renewable Energy in Egypt.
Yeah, but so mic is not working? Or?
Okay. Yes, and yeah. I think she was answering to a question, and she said that unfortunately Egypt has no renewable energy projects to be proposed in PDAPAP 2 until now.
Now, yeah, okay.
It is working with AUDANEPAD and EU on the energy projects concerning the various studies in the continental power interconnection in Africa. And then there's a question from Georgios.
Yeah.
Question is, he's saying a question for discussion on solar generation projects. Would these projects need grants to be developed or guarantees, since the IPP is the best modality and prices are now competitive and do need subsidies? That's all for now.
Yeah, thank you, Georges. Maybe you can also, if you're still there, you can also say the question. I think you are very right about the classical, I would say, the basic solar PV. I know that the donors, the climate donors, are now very skeptical to subsidize very basic solar PV, except if they are very, if they're storage and if they contribute in a different way to the grid. But a basic, a simple solar PV plant injecting to the grid doesn't need the, you know, there's no additionality actually. It can happen. It's a commercial, it can literally be a commercial project now with the prices we're seeing. So, yeah, maybe members, anybody would like to, obviously it depends also on the load factor where you are, but knowing the, especially in the northern, I would say Sahara, Sahel belt, and the Namibia region, I think with these load factors, I don't see any issues about solar PV. Anybody, I think somebody wants to intervene?
Hi, Krishna, Tish.
Yes, Tish.
Thank you. I think, thank you, Georges, for raising that question. In terms of guarantees, we have instruments that we have developed to support PIDA projects, and one of them is the Africa Infrastructure Guarantee Mechanism, which is linked to the what we term the 5% agenda, where we are also trying to make sure that they, in addition to the finance for those PIDA projects, there is some domestic resource component for the CAPEX for the infrastructure projects. And according to our research, this can only happen if there is some element of guarantee that is provided for as part of the risk mitigation measures for that project, for those projects. So maybe what I would recommend is that maybe this is one of the things that we may have to have a wider discussion on, particularly on some of the things that you have highlighted in your presentation, to see how we can incorporate those in PIDA, also on the instruments that we have in existence to support PIDA projects. And I see a lot of scope for enhancing our cooperation on PIDA, especially given the presentation that you have that you made. And I would recommend that as a next step from our end, we should perhaps organize another meeting where we explore these areas of potential cooperation. And then in addition to this, one of the things that you mentioned in your presentation, the utilization of the infrastructure, as well as the having decentralized systems to enable access to electricity. We see this as very, very crucial. This is why for PIDAPAP 2, we have adopted the integrated corridor approach. And currently, we are also drafting the implementation strategy for the integrated for PIDAPAP 2. And one of the things that we have highlighted in the terms of reference is the necessity for us to make sure that we don't only focus on the infrastructure itself, but we create on interventions that create economic, socio-economic opportunities arising from the utilization of the infrastructure. This includes industrialization, opportunities in agriculture, tourism, but this will be detailed in the implementation strategy itself. So we see opportunities for us to discuss further cooperation in that area. So that's all from my end, Krishna.
Yes, thank you, Tish. I think Nopanyo wants to intervene quickly after you. Go on, Nopanyo, we listen to you. I think you're muted, actually.
Hello. Sorry for the problem. A quick, very quick intervention to say that, you know, I thank you for responding to this comment. And I will be glad to participate in a discussion. Just from experience, I remember one project that we had, a solar project in Burkina Faso, the Zaktuli power plant in close to Ouagadougou, and it was a full grant. I mean, it was actually given to the power company, the utility of Burkina. And I think this is not the way today. Things change very quickly in the energy sector, so we all need to adapt. Thank you again.
Yes, thank you, Georges, for this intervention on this. Actually, I have a little knowledge there, but that I think the main aim of that was a one-off decision to really transform the financials, and Sonabel actually managed through that one single project managed to offset 50% of their losses, of their recurrent losses, and I think it was probably a move to restore, I would say, to transform the utility. So in this equation, actually, we all talk about grids, networks, but we tend to forget about the utility, which is the basic building block. And unless the utility is stable, financially viable, strong utility, I mean, there's no future for universal access and all these things. So I think that was one. But you're perfectly right. This is definitely not the way for the future, and it may be not even needed, because based on the pricing, the trends now, I think these solar PV plants would start to make a lot of sense, especially when the work being done by AUC, by the interconnection of the different power pools between them, the time zones, we mentioned about time zones, you know, when it's still between Mali, Gambia, and the East Africa, if one day there's a connection between WAP and EAPP, then you can imagine all the potential this will create in terms of just the time zone, actually, sharing solar energy across time zones. So yes, thank you for this. Nopanyo, I think you wanted to intervene also. Please go on.
Yes, thank you, Chris.
You can also speak in French, maybe, for our colleagues. That would make a change, actually. But we'll also translate, please, because we never heard. We said it's bilingual, but we didn't respect our bilingual promise.
So my point was kind of as another addition to what Moses has said. So I think it would be best if it's in English.
Go on. Yeah, please. And we can translate it. Yeah.
All right. So as part of the planning work that I've been explaining in the framework of the corridor, just to feed into the PDAP process as well, we've been trying to, based on studies on projected demand and or possible interconnections, we've been also trying to identify potential project that could be considered by countries or by RECs. And some of those, we've identified about 10 or so of them. And some are also in Egypt, for the case of our colleagues coming from Egypt too. And so if that's of interest, we can also share those with you to see to what level that also could be considered by by the RECs and other in the countries as well. And regarding the topic of financing, okay, maybe that one could be in French. Donc, en fait, nous avons travaillé sur ce qu'on appelle une plateforme pour les investissements. En fait, le but, c'est d'essayer d'identifier des projets qui existent, donc à travers des soumissions par les proposeurs de projets, soit des privés ou même les États, qui sont inscrits sur notre site. Nous avons un site pour ça. Et le but, c'est d'organiser des forums d'investissement au niveau des sous-régions, de chaque sous-région, et amener les investisseurs et aussi les promoteurs de projets pour essayer de construire un peu ce lien entre eux et essayer de trouver des financements pour des projets dont le concept existe déjà. Concernant l'aspect sur l'atténuation des risques aussi, nous avons une plateforme qui essaie maintenant d'énumérer tous les éléments d'atténuation des risques qui existent et essayer maintenant de voir comment ça s'applique à chacun des projets selon leur situation, leur contexte. Donc tout ça, en fait, c'est disponible sur notre site. Je peux partager le lien pour que les pays ou les privés ou qui que soit puissent s'inscrire sur la plateforme et proposer les projets et les différents mécanismes de financement qui existent. Donc, c'est juste ça que je voulais ajouter. Merci.
Oui, merci beaucoup, Nopenyo. En fait, ce serait bien si vous pourriez mettre sur le chat le lien, en fait, pour les collègues. Et on va essayer de le répercuter dans le rapport aussi, le résumé. Et comme ça, ce sera disponible pour tout le monde. Charlie, I think we have gone through the list of questions. Did we miss something?
No, Krishna.
Okay. Okay, great. So colleagues, any other, maybe, I think we're coming to the end. Some colleagues have to leave other commitments. We've gone beyond the time now. So I would invite actually maybe those who want to say last few words, concluding remarks about on my side, what I would say the focus for the next 15 days actually now would be for us to focus on the submission of projects. And as we discussed in the case of SADC with Moses, don't hesitate actually, because this opportunity for putting your project in the long list is a 10-year long opportunity. So If you think that any project can happen, could materialize in the next 10 years, please, it's very important to put it there. And one of the messages we got from our colleagues in the bank, African Development Bank, who is a partner in PIDA, is that they have a milestone now in NEPAD IPPF that they would dedicate 75% of their portfolio of their grant financing to PIDA PAP 2 projects. So although they also fund other projects, regional projects, but because of this threshold, this milestone, the target they've set, you can improve your chances of projects getting grant funding from NEPAD IPPF to do their detailed studies and towards financial close and implementation. Okay, so anybody wants to intervene? Last word, quick intervention. Okay, if we don't have any other interventions, I think we could close here. We could close the meeting. Anybody who wants to intervene, maybe. Our colleagues, we didn't hear from Dimitris, Niaz, our experts doing the work on master plan and single electricity market. Do you want to say a few words or intervene? What are your impressions? Yeah.
No, Krishna, nothing from our side. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Niaz. Okay. So Tish, do you want to say concluding words, remarks before we close?
Not quite, Krishna, but just to thank everyone for their participation and also for their continued support as we build up the portfolio of projects to be included in PDAPAP 2. And like to reinforce the what you have just said as well, that they should, since this is going to be a 10-year project program, they should feel free to recommend renewable energy projects, even those that are still at concept stage, so that they are included in the pipeline. And we will develop this as we progress. And we've got various instruments that can cater for projects at different stages of development. So they should please go ahead. And particularly the issue that has been raised here, that we need more renewable energy projects to be involved, to be included in the list of projects that we are going to be working on for the next 10 years. So it's of paramount importance that those people should recommend some of those projects. And we also look forward to enhancing our cooperation with IRENA, with EU, you know, in employing and implementing some of their initiatives and complementing the work that we'll be doing on PDAPAP 2 going forward, particularly in energy. Thank you, Krishna.
Thank you, Dish. And Openio, you want to intervene? Last words?
Not much, but I just want to thank you everyone for this opportunity to discuss further this matter of the inclusion of renewable energy into PDAPAP 2, which is very dear to all of us. And we are very much willing to support through the work we've already been doing as part of the planning work, and also moving forward also regarding access and also increasing our involvement in all the regional economic communities across Africa. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you, Nopenyo. I think what we can take away from this webinar actually is very, very interesting. I can see two things. The two key things I can see is that a lot of work is ongoing at the level of AUC, for EU support, EU TAF team and all that. And if we can anticipate, we should be anticipating actually that the results of this work, these studies and interconnection, etc., will change drastically the way we look, the financial, even the viability, the technical feasibility and the financial viability of renewable energy projects can be significantly transformed through the single market and the Pan-African grid. So anticipation is the key word. Although your project may not at this stage, you know, immediately make sense, but if you can bring it into the portfolio in the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years, then they can benefit. The second key thing we see is the sustainability of energy access. Actually, we mentioned about the necessity for more to green the generation mix. You know, it's so easy to think in terms of coal power plants and, you know, and thermal power plants, but then we know it's not sustainable. And coal, actually, for your information, most donors, African Development Bank does not fund any coal, like I guess most other EIB and probably World Bank and all that. So the way the future is not in these dirty technologies, the future is in all these clean technologies. So again, anticipation to green, more decentralized, wide way for the grid. And these mini grids are also grid compatible now. There are models emerging where the mini grids can actually exchange energy with the grid. So it doesn't mean if you go the mini grid route, then you're locked in a mini grid. You can actually connect to the grid. So it's a future grid compatible. And yes, so we invite you to think a little beyond the conventional models of electricity and try to anticipate in the future, since this is a 10-year program, in these two dimensions we identified. So with this, I think I would like to thank you all for your participation. We were at some point, I think, 46 people connected, more than 46. And I would particularly like to thank our colleague Atef from AUC and Tish from Auda Nepad, Georges for his brilliant presentation on the work being done at the level of EU and the EU strategy for Africa. And finally, Nopenyo for the presenting the work being done by Irina on the clean corridors, etc. And once again, very thank you again for your active participation. And we look forward to see you for those, as I said, on Thursday, we have this last actually very special webinar on GIS tools to showcase the PDAP app 2. The new interface for PDAP app 2 will be shown, and we would like to collect feedback on this new interface. So please join us next Thursday for those who are interested. And then we thank you again, and we look forward to collaborate in the near future with you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Krishna. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.